Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, welcome back to the next episode of the City Confessions. I'm so excited because I have a special guest. I always say this about all my guests, but I think it's really important to really acknowledge who they are. So today I have Laura Yardulian. She is pretty much a genius and a woman, a boss babe, and she has so many titles, so I don't want to pigeonhole her, but essentially she has a blog and she's the founder of Pretty Connected. She's also a beauty expert. She has her own accessories line, and the list goes on and on. So welcome, Laura.
Thank you, and thank you for that introduction.
I don't know if I did it justice, so why don't you introduce yourself and tell the listeners what you do and who you are?
Yeah, so as Marianne said, I'm Laura Yardulian. I have the brand Pretty Connected. I came from the beauty world in marketing. I started at NARS Cosmetics when it was really small. I went on to Juralique to do their big rebrand and be their marketing manager. And between working at two really incredible brands, I'd done a lot of training. So obviously with NARS, we were doing fashion shows. You've got the most exquisite makeup artists, learned so much about makeup and beauty. And then from Juralique, they were really ahead of their time with biodynamic farming, skincare, and organic, and you know, really the clean beauty, natural world before it became kind of a trend of what it is today. Mm-hmm. So between those two companies, you know, you're learning about things like willow bark and just special ingredients. And the internet back then, and just to back this up, is like, this is like 11, 12 years ago, probably more, didn't really have a lot of good information. You know, magazines kind of would just credit like colors, or there weren't like these in-depth stories about beauty. And I felt like I was always around these like amazing people, makeup artists, skincare experts. And plus all my friends kind of worked in the beauty industry. So I started a blog very casually. I just wanted to learn more about online. Like back then it was really about traditional marketing, you know, bounce back cards, your in-store visuals. It wasn't as much, the online world. Magazines didn't really have blogs. They had like kind of an online presence, but this was the very kind of start of all of that. So with that, I really wanted to interview these experts, kind of share information. Plus people are always asking me like, which mascara do you recommend? What did you think about, you know, this product and that? So, and I was always a beauty junkie. So that's how I started the blog. In that time, again, we didn't have beauty influencers, which is really funny to think of now, considering what a big role online plays. But being in that space over the course of a decade, you know, I really kind of saw it all. So, but like anything you do for 10 years, you've got to grow your brand. So it started with blogging. Brands started to notice pretty quickly. They noticed me, they wanted to send me products, I got invited to their events, all that kind of fun stuff you still see today. And then I started to sort of evolve. I went from Juralique, they moved their office upstate, and I got a consulting gig at Avon. I got a consulting job at Kiehl's. And actually with Kiehl's, they were like, we want you to launch our social media because we don't have, you know, social media was new. Instagram didn't exist yet. Facebook did, but Twitter did. But they were like, we need to launch our brand on these platforms. How do we do that? There's nobody who has like 5 years social media experience. You have, you know, this marketing background, plus you have this blog that you've grown, you understand social, can you come on and do that for us? And that was really exciting because I started to write the guidebooks and what your voice should sound like. And Kiehl's is really aligned with me as like a person. They care about, you know, the environment so much. They donate so much money to that. Education and AIDS are like their three things that they're really pushing and raise so much money for. So working for a brand like that with great skincare and that just cares about the world was really a fun experience. Plus they worked with like so many cool celebrities on Earth Day campaigns and motorcycle rides across the country and did really cool things. So it was a fun brand to do social media for. I was there for like 2 to 3 years. They then turned it into like a real job. Like I was consulting. So I was half time on the blog, half time there. And then they needed a director of social media. Back then it was a conflict of interest to have a blog and work for a brand. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like a good pivoting time for me. I was like, you know, the digital landscape has changed. I'm going to start working with a lot of brands. Let me start consulting. Let me start hosting events. I was so fortunate. I got to host like the first influencer event for so many incredible brands like Creed Fragrances and Skin Iceland. And it was fun because you're starting to see more bloggers coming into the space. And, you know, there's probably only 30 of us back then, but that was like a great experience of like, okay, I thought blogging was going to help me get more jobs with brands. It was going to get me hired. You know, when I go on my interview and somebody's like, oh, why do you want to work here? I can be like, I went to this event and this event, you know, this about your brand. I'm such an enthusiast. But I found that learning and kind of meeting the influencers and kind of merging and helping brands sort of develop their online presence was where I sort of stood out. So then from there, I started to do some TV on air segments, which was really fun. Some brands asked me to be their spokeswoman, which I still do to this day for a few brands. And that was really, you know, and that's another fun thing. And now I get to work with, you know, magazines like New Beauty and write for them, help them with, you know, different projects that they want to do videos for them and things. You know, I just kind of am always like, what other cool thing can I do? Mm-hmm. I've judged Glamour's Beauty Awards. I've done a lot with the beauty shows from Cosmoprof to, you know, Indie Beauty Expo. I get to sort of get this fun insider information. But, you know, again, it's like, what else can I be doing? So 4 years ago, I launched a charity. I started to get too many beauty products, and I found that a lot of people had that issue. So I decided to join a nonprofit and head up their beauty division. So we called it Share Your Beauty, where we collect unused beauty products and we give them to women's shelters. And then I realized that I wanted to start an accessories line. I'd always made my own camera straps and everybody wanted them. And I was like, you know, and they were janky. I would like make them from the garment district out of who knows what chains and materials that were heavy. And I kept waiting for like a cool strap company to come along. And finally I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do this. So I created these like super cool straps that double as necklaces. Now we use them for water bottles and to hold your flip flops when you're on the beach. And that was another like fun thing. So I think I'm always looking for what's next, what's a void in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it's like so many people see an influencer or see something. They're like, I want to be like that. I'm going to do exactly the same thing. Whereas mm-hmm. for me, as soon as it's being done, I'm like, okay, it's time to move on from this.
Right.
So that's a very long-winded answer to your question.
No, it's but, fine. You know,
that's sort of, I'm always sort of seeking opportunities. Mm-hmm. I always say you should be an opportunist. So when you see something that's sort of a void, it's great to be kind of in the first to do that, because as soon as everybody gets on board, it gets harder and harder to differentiate yourself. And I think that's why we feel lost sometimes. I know I have in my journey. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and that's why I'm always redefining what my boundaries are as it feels kind of authentic to me.
I love that. I'm like gonna mark that because it's such a good quote. Yes, and I know when we were talking off air, you mentioned that you really, you know, acknowledge your journey and that it is a journey and that it doesn't happen overnight. And I think that is something that a lot of people are not aware of. One, about people who do all these amazing things, and then two, about you, because actually my first impression of you also is like, wow, she does so many things, like she's just amazing, and like, you know what I mean, like I feel like you have, again, so many avenues of want, like, I guess I don't want to say income, but kind of, you know what I mean, like different ways that you're marketing yourself, and it's not just, you're not classified as just a blogger, right? So you're very three-dimensional, which is amazing. But where did you actually grow up?
I grew up in Belmont, Massachusetts, right outside of Boston. But I went to college at FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology, in New York. So I've been in New York since I was 17. So I feel like I've spent half my life here and half my life in New York. And definitely New York, when you go to college and afterwards, really just like opens you up to the world and being like an open person. You know, so I credit New York for a lot of my know if the world is self-confidence, but just, you know, there's so much opportunity there. And mm-hmm. I always say you never know who you're going to meet that can change your life. And New York has that, like, ability, which I think is amazing.
Right. No, I love that. And then can you explain Pretty Connected? Where did that name come from?
So it's interesting. So I, you know, when I was at NARS especially, the creative director was so big on branding. And it always stuck with me throughout my jobs and who do you want to be? And so when I was starting my blog, it was like, I don't know, everything sounded cheesy, like lipstick this, makeup this. And I also kind of had a little bit of a vision that, you know, I also would go to cool museum exhibits and do cool things. I was like, I love fashion. I'm at fashion shows. Maybe I don't want to just do beauty. Maybe I'm going to want to do travel. Maybe I'm going to want to do other things that and storytell. So I kind of wanted something that played off the beauty aspect, but I didn't want it to be so pigeonholed that suddenly I'd have to change my name. So I really give myself a lot of credit, especially because I was so young when I started my blog, that I, like, first of all, came up with Pretty Connected, but then trademarked it. Like, now, you know, like, just had mm-hmm. so much, like, I'm going to be this such a brand, even though I never thought I would actually be a brand. So, yeah, I just started to write down a lot of words, like, pretty, and just, like, I just, like, a ton of, like, lipstick, makeup, like, travel, like, just, I made a huge list of things. And then I had a friend, still a friend at the time, but he's a tattoo artist. And I remember I just like went in one day because we went to college together and he was very honest. It's the only thing I can describe it. He hated this thing. He was like, no, dumb, stupid. You know, I'm like reading these names and he's like, and then I kind of like Pretty Connected. I was like, I kind of feel like that. In my head, that was my favorite. Cause I'm mm-hmm. like, talking about pretty things. I feel like I'm very connected to different people. Like, it's not pigeonholed. So I'm reading all these titles. He's like, stupid, dumb, ew, stop. And I got to Pretty Connected and he just sort of like stopped and was like, yeah, that's actually not bad. And I was like, yes. It was such a like victorious moment for me.
Yeah.
And then somebody was like, you should trademark. And I was like, can you even trademark this? But I had a friend that was a lawyer and she was like, it's important for your brand. And I was like, okay, like,
that's amazing. Yeah, no, so, it's great. I feel like the name is so fitting for you, and also just like when you were saying your journey, I feel like you really are also connected, right, in that space and in that industry, and then coming from working for these companies and now like working for them and now working with them. Like, also, how is that transition? Because I know, you know, you were saying that there has been conflict of interest. But now that you get invited to events and you talk to these brand people, one, are they still the same people that you were working with back then? And then two, just what is that experience like seeing both sides?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely helped me grow my brand. It is interesting. I don't know if now, so it's only if you were full time with a brand would it okay. be a conflict of interest. And okay. I don't know if that still applies mm-hmm. because obviously if you're working for a brand like Kiehl's or NARS or whatever, and then you're talking about a competitor, and it's a little right. weird, although I think a lot of brands have kind of loosened up on it. When I was consulting, they like loved it because I would do like these trend reports and like here. And again, this is very early on when brands were first doing campaigns and different initiatives. So they loved that I was like, okay, here's what Turk's doing. And they grew 100 people this week on Twitter because they did this giveaway or they did this cool initiative. And this is what your competitor over here is doing. And this is your other competitor, but they're doing nothing. But suddenly they've opened an account. And this is how many followers. Like, or I went to this event. And this is a cool thing that they're doing. So it was kind of like they loved it. But then, of course, when you're going to be a figurehead at their company, it was a little awkward. So now it's not as big of a deal, I don't believe. But whenever you're consulting, you can do whatever you want. People don't put boundaries or restrictions. Mm-hmm. You might have to sign an NDA to not disclose, like a non-disclosure agreement, so you're not sharing insider information. But other than that, it's pretty accepted. Plus, everyone has a blog now, so it's right. not, or like an Instagram, or talks about things. So it's not kind of the weird unknown that it once was. And to answer your question, like, it's so interesting because I work with so many people, you know, that I've been working with for 10 years, and some of them are interns, and now they're like VPs, or like I'll go to
wow.
PR companies like holiday party, and like all the junior people have like no idea who I am, and like, just judge you on like your following, or like judge you on like one thing, and they're like obsessed with like, you know, the new YouTuber or whatever, and mm-hmm. then it's like their boss's like, Laura. Like, you know, it's like so funny how you can be like the biggest deal to one person.
Right.
And then, like, the intern's like, I don't know who this person is. But yeah, it is cool because a lot of agencies, like, people always ask, how do you get to new mailers? How are you on so many lists? You know, you have to think that, like, these people go from company to company to company. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, and they take their list with them, and they, like, add it to the new list. And so you just sort of, with time, get put on everyone's list.
Right.
Again, 11 years is a long time. But it's interesting because some people I've been working with through three, four agencies, and I've known them since they were at, like, one. And it's, like, it's fun, you know? Mm-hmm. It's really fun to do that. Also, I think it gives me some credibility when they're hiring, you know, a spokesperson or somebody in the space that they want to feel comfortable with, because mm-hmm. a lot of the shows have kind of tried to work with people with big followings, and some of them are exceptional and some of them are just not TV trained or, you know, online trained or, you know, can't right. represent things in the proper way because of the experience of it. Other ones are exceptional. So I think sometimes too, when they're like, okay, we've seen your work over the past decade, we feel comfortable, we need you to, like, this is actually a mess, can you clean this up for us and, like, present it and organize it for us? I can do that, which is nice, because to your question before, I've worked on the brand side, like, I know what a brand's objective is, you know, and how they want to be represented and what they want things to look like, and having that experience is really important. Like, I always tell a lot of influencers, like, if you can get a year or two on the brand side, you'll learn so much about marketing yourself. Mm-hmm. You'll learn about, like, their objectives. Because even now with the accessories lines, I get a lot of pitches from influencers, and I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. Like, is this what these PR people are getting, like, all day, every day? Like, oh my gosh, no wonder they take me so seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we kind of don't learn how to do certain things that I feel like came very naturally to me because I work with a brand. Like, mm-hmm. they're not just sending products out to everybody. They're sending out to people who, like, handle their brand well. And it's not always about your size. People think it is, but brands recognize, like, what vocabulary you're using, what, you know, how you're presenting things, the photos you're taking, mm-hmm. the insight you're giving. And also, like, the internet's a funny thing. Like, I say too with my line, like, I've had people with 500,000 followers post my products, and I've had somebody with 800 followers who's gotten me a ton of orders. Mm-hmm. Like, we sometimes think following makes a difference, and it does, obviously, to some degree, but I think they're always looking for really authentic voices and people who have opinions. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. I think a lot of times people just want to please a brand, or they're like, oh my God, I didn't like it. And it's like, you can say it nicely, like, give brand feedback, because that's where this whole industry started. That's why magazines started to die when influencers came up, because it wasn't just like a yes man job. It was, I like this, but the packaging's a little faulty, or I wish it had this brush in it, or I wish it did this. And brands started to get feedback on their products, and that's what helped them grow and develop. And then when things started to get too sponsored and overly done, it's like, you know, it's kind of like what happened with magazines. It's no longer feeling like, oh, you really gave us great insight. You're just like, I paid you, and here's the product, and you love it.
And yeah, so, yeah.
Anyways, that was a long-winded answer.
No, it's fine. I love it. I feel like you just have so much. It's not like, like, everything you're saying, I'm like, yes, you're so right. But let's shift.
I can talk all day.
I know. I love it. But let's shift gears a little bit. And I wanted to ask you what keeps you up at night. And obviously, there's a pandemic going on, so I mean, I don't want to fill that answer for you, but if that's what's stressing you out, then that's also fine. But I always ask this because I think as New Yorkers, we are constantly on the go, and we're constantly, like what you were saying, like seeking opportunities and taking opportunities and saying yes and being in like a million places at once. But it's funny because usually that question forces my guests to, you know, be reflective and like do a little self-analysis, but obviously now I feel like we're doing it 24/7. But with all that being said, yeah, like, how are you doing, and what's on your mind right now?
Yeah, it's interesting. In the past, when things would keep me up, like, I do, you know, I used to be a very anxious person, which I'm not anymore. And I think that comes when you work for yourself for a long amount of time, especially in this digital world, when all of a sudden, like, there's a million people who do what you do. That kind of stuff used to keep me up at night. Like, I'm not special. Like, what am I doing that, you know, how am I going to set myself apart? Who's going to want to work with me? You know, I think those you know, and I work with a lot of really amazing creatives who know a lot of amazing programs and things, and they'll be like, oh, you're so smart. And like, I freelance, and I'm like, yeah, but you are good at programming, or you are good at, you know, making decks, or you have an expertise in that. You know, I always feel like you are the kind of people that get to consult. And I think we get really insecure sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, like, I've been on the hamster wheel for so long when it comes to career stuff. I've let go a lot of that anxiety, and I'm just like, it's going to work out. You're just going to keep trying new things. And I've had to really focus on what are different opportunities. What can I do right now? What else can I, you know, and kind of calm my mind and also believe that, like, I'm doing a great job. I'm doing the best I can. But with the pandemic, I've been going through it a little bit longer than everybody else. We talked about this. My fiance was in Korea during the crisis in February. I planned some really cool collaborations to be in Asia for a few months, and all of that got canceled, and it was a disaster. So I went through a lot of the, like, anxiousness and kind of sad feelings then. And then finally I was like, I've got to pull myself out of this and, you know, focus on other things. The shutdown actually helped me, because I think for me, I'm always so, and maybe I'm still insecure to some degree, and that's why I'm always trying new things or trying to evolve my brand, is because I'm trying to always differentiate myself. And again, I don't believe in things happening overnight. When people, like what you said earlier about, you know, I'm overwhelming because I've done so much stuff, I completely see how that is. But if you track it over 11 years, you'll know that's, like, it's very, very organic in how I've sort of done it. And I also try not to put too much on my plate, so I stress myself out, because you only live once. You have to have, you know, I used to go on trips and it would be completely miserable because I'm mm-hmm. shooting this and doing this and doing, you know, I didn't get to actually just, like, enjoy it. So as I've gotten older, I've really balanced my time. Mm-hmm. And with the pandemic, it's interesting because somehow everybody being forced to shut down, it really helped calm me in terms of, okay, you get to rest now. You get to learn when you want to, but you need to understand that, like, your priority right now is, one, staying healthy, your friends and family staying healthy, and spending time with them, you know, and to focus on kind of the positive things. And it's been really interesting to mm-hmm. see how I've handled it, because financially it's miserable. And if I told you all the incredible things I had planned that got canceled, I'd be, like, devastated on the floor. But when you're able to sort of take a step back and realize that all that matters, if you are blessed enough to wake up healthy every day, if you're blessed enough to know that you're going to survive this, even though nobody wants to give their savings accounts to, you know, a pandemic versus buying a house, or in my case, like, a wedding. Mm-hmm. But you do realize what really matters. And it also forces you to look, like, I think of myself as, like, an eco-enthusiast and caring about the world and the planet. But mm-hmm. even I am like, wow, I can make cutbacks here, and I can make cutbacks, you know, and this has given me a chance to reflect. So yeah, I always say, like, I'm not going to be anxious until, like, someone in my family or a friend has not recovered. And then I think I like mm-hmm. lose it like everybody else. But right until then, I have to just be grateful, you know? And so it does help me sleep at night. I also stopped watching the news. I just read headlines now.
Yep, me too.
Unless something really happens mm-hmm. that, like, can really, like, I'm informed, but I realized that wasn't good for me. I did in the beginning, like, that's what we do, but mm-hmm. I have to also look at what, like, makes me a better, stronger person, a better daughter, a better, you know, fiance, a better person for my audience. And also, like, it's been a good time for me to try new things. Like, I love beauty, I love fashion, I love all these things, but I'm like, a lot of this stuff is not the most important thing right now. And what can I do for my community? I launched a program yesterday. It was supposed to be an Earth Day initiative. I gave my beauty closet, 100 products from my beauty closet, to Loop and Tie, which is a gifting platform, and they made little gifts out of it. We were supposed to use it for Earth Day to do gifting to people who, like, are doing really cool things in their community, just sending, like, a little gift. And it's kind of keeps products in circulation, because these are products that I might not have used, whether it was, like, not my shade and lipstick color, or I just had too much of a certain category. But with everything going on, we decided to switch it to just be, like, spreading joy. So if anybody's, like, doing wonderful things, or if they're having a tough day, I've seen a lot of Instagram posts where somebody's just, like, you know, really raw and just, like, having a hard time, I just send them, or, like, they're going crazy in quarantine, I can send them a little gift. And it's been really fun.
That's so beautiful.
And somebody was like, I nominate this nurse, so, like, she was amazing. I'm like, great, send her a gift, you know. So I'm trying to do different things mm-hmm. and use this time productively and joyously, instead of, like, feeding into anxiety. And if I am anxious, I try to change something. if that makes sense.
No, that's so beautiful. I mean, after this is over, can you also let me know how I can get involved with that? Because that sounds amazing, and I think I can, you know, I would love to, like, help out. Yeah.
We have two programs. So I have Share Your Beauty, which I mentioned. So we always take new products, and it can be samples, and we give them to homeless shelters and women's shelters. So I always have product opportunities there. We can also do it through the gifting program too. Mm-hmm. The, you know, Share Your Beauty's closed right now because we actually work with the Sports Hack, who's amazing. And plus, people can't really drop off products right
now. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You don't want to leave your house.
Yeah.
And there are so many great programs right now. It's really interesting. All these beauty editors got together to start this Donate Beauty program where they're having brands directly send to hospitals. So I'm glad, like, that's being still taken care of in this time. So yeah, absolutely. There's always a use, but it's also just nice to create that, you know, create different opportunities for people to give, even if something small. Like I said, beauty's always been a great escape for me. I wish I could give more money and food and things that people really need, but if I can just do this, it's enough, you know, it's what I can do. And I think that when we look at the world and the planet, we have to look at what we can do for no small deed. Like, that's what I always say. Like, I mean, that's also just important to try, you know?
Yeah.
Or work with fellow people and tell them your ideas. Like, I wanted to start that beauty charity for probably 2 years before it got started. I couldn't find the right partners. Like, everything's a journey. When people are really impressed by things I've done, I'm like, it took me so long. And then it finally just, like, clicked. And you know how I got that thing? Like, I told this one influencer, she's a mom influencer, I was like, I really want to start this thing. At the time, I was trying to work with another organization, but they were more focused on raising money than doing good, which is not a nice thing to say. But I felt like they could have easily done it with me, but they were like, we don't see a money opportunity, just a helping one. So I told this other, like, I told all these editors, I was like, would you guys be interested if I started this? Do you feel like there is a need for this? Everybody said yes. And sure enough, one of the influencers got an email from family to family, the nonprofit I work with, being like, hey, we're going to do this beauty drive. You know, would you be interested in donating your beauty closet? And she forwarded it to me. And I literally emailed them and was like, hey, instead of this just being like a Mother's Day initiative or whatever initiative, I was like, can we do this ongoing? I'll head it up. I'll do the drive. I'll collect the products. You just need to place them for me. And they were like, yes, we would love to do that. And then I started doing events and people dropped off products, and the Sports Act was amazing. They were like, we did one for a shelter for an event I hosted, and they gave me 50 bags because that's how many residents were, and everybody brought their products. We literally sat there, we put all the products in the middle. I was like, this is not a canned soup drive. Do not go buy products. This is all about sustainability. Just if you have no products to bring, just come. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, everybody brought like a box of products, and we filled them. Everyone could take whatever they wanted from the middle. It was not like you fill with your products. You know, I just like left it there, made little bags. And then after that, Sports Tech was like, how do we get involved? And I was like, can you store these products? Because I'm holding them in my apartment and it's starting to get crazy. Can you do the drop off? And they were like, we can also give you our past season bags. And we can put
them in bags. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. And so that partnerships are the future. People always ask me, how do you, I'm like, partnerships. It takes the pressure off of you. It helps things be so much more productive. Like when people are very like competitive, I'm like, that you're only hurting yourself. If there's not enough space for both of us, then that's like a problem. And, you know, we are super stronger together. And it also just makes so many things so much more beautiful and enjoying. And it doesn't exhaust you. So
I can literally listen to you forever. I think that's why you probably make such... You should start a podcast. I feel like you have so much wisdom, and everything you say, it can be like a quote. Like, it's it's so good.
Oh my God,
so
I love you. Stroke my ego as I'm considering
no,
starting one.
No, it's true, though.
But, you know, people don't believe in themselves, and that actually happens at all different levels. Like, I'm always shocked by that. Like, I've known so many incredible women, and then, like, even one this week who was she sells out, like, every girl boss rally. She's standing, like, she's incredible. And I was like, she's kind of giving up on this great idea. And I was like, are you crazy? She's like, well, they might not want to do it. And, like, talking herself out of it. And I hear people talk themselves out of it. And they're like, well, Laura, you have a following. So you can, and I'm like, what? That has nothing to do with anything. You need one person to like your idea for it to, like, be magic. And I, you know, it's not like, this is a terrible, stupid example, but, like, I had two squirrels in my fireplace. I mentioned on my Instagram. And, like, I started to cry because I was like, they're not going to survive the night. I like read up on the internet. I was like, I can't go to the grocery store. Like, I want to save them, but I can't go get the right formula if it's even available. I was like, feeding them like DIY Pedialyte that I made. I'm like doing all the right things and keeping them feeding. And then my fiance is like, Lara, why don't you just like put it on your Facebook and your Instagram, but like see if somebody knows what to do or how they can help or they can rehab them. Cause I tried to call everybody's sending me phone numbers. Nobody's open. I'm like, mess. But like, lo and behold, it was not Instagram where I have my biggest following. It was somebody on Facebook who I knew like a long time ago. She saw it and I also had to be like, I'm in Watertown, Massachusetts. Like normally in New York, there's like probably a lot of people that do this, but I'm like, I'm not even in a prime place where I have a prime demographic mm-hmm. of people that can help me or like know anything about this area. Sure enough, like this girl that I knew a long time ago tagged another girl who rehabs it. Funny enough, another PR person also tagged her because I guess she's like a radio host. And this one was amazing. She was like, called me up. She was like, here's my phone number. Give me advice. I'm getting conflicting things on the internet. She like talked me off the ledge. She was like, welcome to drop them off. It was like 30 minutes from you. Here's what you need to do in the interim. Mm-hmm. And like it happened. But like you only need one person or other people to share it. Like people want to get involved and like help mm-hmm. other people. Mm-hmm. So I think that like when you just give up, you're just doing yourself a disservice. And you know.
No,
yeah. I always try. Like I tell people, like we're not afraid of rejection. Mm-hmm. We're afraid of not trying, and that's mm-hmm. what I say. I'm not afraid of rejection. It's fine. Nobody like I get rejected all the time. Yeah. I don't even hear it as rejection. I'm like, you can't do it. That's cool. Let's try this person.
Right. Like, no, I love that so much because that whole sentiment and mindset is what I had on my podcast as well. Like for me, it's like a passion project. You know, I'm doing it because one, I love connecting with people, hearing their stories, sharing their stories. It was never like, oh my God, I want to be the biggest, you know, podcast or I want to do this, I want to do that. I was like, I don't care if I have one listener, you know, if like that can motivate them or inspire them, like that's all that matters, you know? So I have the same exact mindset. And I think it's a beautiful thing to have that because that's what really fosters, it can be a business or again, like a passion. That's like, you just need that beginning feel to get started. That's the hardest part, just to get started.
But you're in the right mindset. Like I tell people all the time, if you go into it, like, trying to be this successful thing. And like, unless of course you've got capital and like it's an actual business. Fund, right. But if you actually just go into doing things just because you want to, it is a build. Like it does not matter how many followers you have, like still starting a new platform, you have to grow it. Mm-hmm. Like just because you have a big blog following does not mean you have a big Instagram, like each channel or podcast.
Yep.
Like,
no, 100%.
Growing things mm-hmm. and you have to do it because you love it. Cause it's a lot of work and it's also your free time. And those are always the most successful things. And even like, my close friends do the Fat Mascara, which is a beauty, it's one of the biggest beauty podcasts. And I remember when they were starting and I was like, you're doing the right thing. You're just having quality guests. You're building it. And like 2 years later, they're just getting more and more press and success. And, you know, but if you give up in the beginning, mm-hmm. you will never grow it. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, I only had 5 listeners. I'm not going to keep going. It's like, that's not, you have to just keep
going. Yeah, like, I don't care.
Even when people are like, are you sad Instagram is going to take away likes? I actually wish they really did it.
Me too. I'm waiting for it.
Like, yeah, no, even if you wait for it, it still says this person got hundreds of likes, thousands of like, it takes away from just, and that's why blogs were cool because you couldn't see the analytics.
Exactly.
You could send the analytics, but people were judging you based on your content, what you were saying. You couldn't like manipulate like the statistics or different things. And now it's like, people have to cut corners and Instagram has opened that up because it's like, oh my God, nobody liked it. I feel anxious about this. I don't mm-hmm. like, if they actually just deleted them and people were shocked because I had a lot of talks with like people that worked at like Refinery and Vessel and big brands. And we'd be talking about it when it was like, Lara, what do you think as like an influencer? I was like, do it. Like your content should just stand on its own. And if we're just judging based on likes, it's not a productive way.
Amen.
Of looking at things. Yeah. And it's like, and not to say people with huge followings don't have great content, but like, it's the same thing with your podcast. It's great that you are telling awesome stories of people that inspire you and you're just going for it instead mm-hmm. of like, okay, this is what's working, like, and pigeonholing yourself or quitting because you don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Exactly. And it's like what you said too. I feel like everything is like a learning opportunity because you can start something, like if it's a business or an idea, and if it technically fails, it's not really a failure, right? It's better to be like, okay, I tried it. It didn't work out and I'm going to try something else. You know, absolutely. Like, it's not like an end all.
Like, I thought when you said earlier when you signed up for all those classes during quarantine to learn, like, that's so amazing to me because I wish I did that, first of all. But even with anything,
you can still do it.
It's nice to just learn something else. Like, when I launched my accessories line, I got really lucky. You know, I did some cool collaborations with some, like, Instax cameras. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, it got used at, like, the Harper's Bazaar Icon Party. A buyer from Urban Outfitters was there. They were like, we want these. What are these? She contacted me. I got an Urban Outfitters. It was, like, mind-blowing.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was, like, impossible. It was such, like, I'm still in their systems. We did it for 6 months. It was amazing. They were amazing. But as a small business, first of all, you're giving, like, a big discount, which they worked with me on. So I just want to say all positive things about working with Urban Outfitters. But their systems are so complicated. Mm-hmm. I had to buy all these different tags and packaging. I had to wrap them a certain way. I had to wait. Like, it was so much anxiety every time I got an order, which was, like, monthly. I was like, oh, my God, I can't, like, do this. And you're basically breaking even. So it was fun to, like, but it was still such a great experience for me. And I was like, you know what? I'm not at that level where I can do retail yet. Like, I'm so glad, like, Nordstrom reached out and I was like, nope. I will literally, like, cause I didn't look at the margins and the money difference to, like, get a warehouse or do things. I was like, I will actually be spending money if I do that. Like, we have a high cost of goods, it's a quality product. But the experience was so exciting. Same thing when I started a Shopify site. I was like, ooh, now I'm learning how to, like, put products on an online site. And then, of course, like, and at first you're like, love filling orders. Now I'm like, okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's work. It's fine. It's like, I can have an intern do this. But, you know, when you start and learn anything new, it just gets you excited to just try it. So whether it's a podcast, at least you understand how it works. At least you know, tried this thing and you're now like an expert in it, which I think is really great. Because you tried, you know, you said we're recording on a new program. Like, that's great that you're trying this out because podcasts aren't going to go away, and maybe a brand one day wants to start one, and you're in a position to do that and be like the person who helps them do that. So yeah, I commend you for all your trials and learning.
Thank you. All right, so the podcast is called The City Confessions, and I'm pretty sure you saw this coming, but I like to kind of close out the episode with a confession from the guest, and this can be literally anything. It can be silly, it can be deep, it can be whatever you feel comfortable with sharing. And I just ask this because I feel like we all hold on to something and it's always good to kind of just like release it into the universe. So yeah, if you were to complete the sentence of like my confession is, like, what would that be?
I know, I saw this and I was like, I don't know. I literally told my fiance, I was like, what's my confession? And he was like, that you like soap operas. And I was like, yep, that's super embarrassing. I will say that. But like,
I feel like some of the
grandmother, like, right. I love that they're like, it's so funny because I'm supposed to be so intellectual, but I love having them in the background. It like reminds me of my grandma and just like, I don't know, you don't have to pay attention and it's like background noise.
Yeah.
That's my embarrassing confession. What are other good ones? Like, I really wanted something super. I mean, that is super embarrassing to confess, but.
No, it's not. I mean, it's fine. I feel like.
With this quarantine, I was like, I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to start watching soap operas from the start, but in Spanish, and that's how I'm going to learn a new language.
Just oh
like
my God, that's what I've been doing.
I'm going to learn Spanish by sitting and watching soap operas.
No, that's what I've been doing. So, wow, there's so much noise. I'm like recording my apartment. No, that's what I've been doing. I've been taking Spanish classes on Duolingo. And then watching Netflix shows in like Spanish, and it's so awesome. Like I'm like I don't even want to like hear English anymore. I'm like let me listen to other languages. But yeah, no, that's fine. There's no rule. There's no like I'm not judging people on their confessions. What's your favorite soap opera?
Oh my God, I have to admit it. I mean, listen, they're bad. Like, there are times when they're good, but then there are times where I'm like, this is even painful for me to watch. I'm a Bold and Beautiful, Young and the Restless girl. I'm like, so awesome. Bold and Beautiful because it's 30 minutes. And like, past that, I start to feel a little bad about myself.
No, it's fine. It's like whatever gets you through, especially like during this pandemic. You know what I mean?
It's also like, I'm not addicted, so it's fun. So like, I'll actually know that I was really busy for like 2 weeks if I haven't watched one or put in the background or haven't been like in the office. But then otherwise, if I'm watching them a lot, I'm like, oh, Laura, you need a hobby.
Right.
So it gauges my, you know, and I'm not like a loyalist, but
yeah, like you said, background noise.
Because you don't have to watch it for like 3 months, and you can just know exactly what's happening. Like, it's kind of, and it's never gonna like run out. But
right, yeah. No, I love that. Yeah, and wait, I just wanted to like say, if you guys hear noise, it's because I'm recording my apartment and I feel like somebody's doing something outside, so just ignore that.
Well, you sound amazing.
Okay, great. I don't know if you can like hear it.
I don't hear background noise, so.
All right, cool.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, I want to take a moment now to just like really acknowledge like your presence, everything you do, your existence, your being. I normally record face to face, but clearly we can't do that now. But I really do admire you. I haven't told you this, but I do think you're doing amazing things, and I think you're such a genuine person. Like whenever I'm with you, I don't think you have like a bad bone in your body. You constantly are everything that you've said in this podcast is evident in like your character, and you carry yourself so well. So I do just want to take a moment to just appreciate you taking time out of your day and talking with me and talking with us, and I'm sure the listeners got something great out of it.
I'm crying.
No, it's like, true though, because
you're crying. Oh,
you know, you're really amazing. That's, and I think that like what you were saying, people don't really, and maybe they do like compliment each other, but I don't think people like give recognition to others that deserve it. And I'm not like putting you on a pedestal. I think you are worthy of everything that I'm saying. And I think I can learn a lot from you. I think like after this, I know I don't really know you that well, but I love getting guests on my show and like kind of connecting with them, you know, further and like building another relationship, because again, I, you know, you and I know each other, but I really wanna I don't know, just like strengthen our relationship, and I think I can learn a lot from you.
Done. Well, I think what you're doing is amazing too, and you
thank
deserve
you.
Recognition, because it is nice. You know people through events, or you spend time, or you feel their energy, and you're like, yeah, you're fun to be around.
Yeah.
Cooking and that was fun, and we get to be silly. But it's nice that you have a podcast where you get to actually get to know somebody and ask some questions,
yeah,
and learn about them. And I think that's such a like special thing. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to appreciate and recognize you for having me on, because I appreciate that a lot.
Isn't it so crazy though?
Hear your voice.
Yeah, I feel like the cooking class was not that long ago. Like, I think that was like almost one of the last public events that I've attended.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
It is wild when I look at things or pictures, and I'm like, that was like a month and a half ago.
I know.
It was like yesterday. Now I live in sweats. I like
don't
even have my own clothes because I've been traveling. Like, you're like, wow, how quickly life can change. It
I
also
know.
Makes you appreciate that, right?
Like 100%.
That event was fun. And amazing.
It was so much fun.
There were so many things. You kind of like, it doesn't register, but when Brent sent me something,
yeah,
I'm going to go to a event again. I'm going to be so appreciative of
same,
it. And like
same.
Bringing us together and
yeah,
friends. Like, it's lovely.
Yeah. All right, I have two more questions. The second to last is, what are you currently up to and what can people be on the lookout for? And if that's totally like nothing, that's fine as well, just given, you know, taking into consideration of what's happening in the world. But like, what are you working on? What are your goals for the next 3 to 6 months?
Yeah. So I'm just being very open right now. Like, I think work-wise, it's just a tough time. I've sort of like just settled, like I'm not really gonna do collaborations unless it's after this or like it really really makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been working on, I actually just finished a children's book about my
dog.
Oh my
god,
beyond cute. So
wait.
I need to, but it's like so hard because I know so many people and I do put it out in the universe, but I don't know that many agents, and well, I do, but they're not in children's books, and it's like, our public, and I need feedback. So I'm like, all right, I need to go through this and go on the internet and do what I tell people to do all the time, which is like DM and stalk people who are in that world and ask them for advice and, you know, a virtual coffee date. So
yeah,
that's one thing I'd like to, I kind of shelved the project last year when I started to get really busy with other things. I was like, I have too much on my plate. This can wait. So that's one thing I'd like to work on, and it's a personal goal. I did have an exciting call with a brand to be a spokeswoman for, and it's really a cool brand. Like, I'm really looking at like sustainability and like
mm-hmm.
the earth and things I kind of want to care about and focus my energy towards.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that works out. They're not launching till next year, so we shall see. And you know, I think once life goes back to normal, I put that in quotes. Like, you know, I had a few segments for Sunglass Hut. I'm a spokesperson for them with Extra and some other things. So hopefully we still get to do all of those things. And there's a beauty show. You know, everything's kind of getting postponed. And
right.
It is interesting. Like, I will say this. It's very humbling because one of the reasons I started so many legs of my brand was because it's hard when you work for yourself, right? Financially, to make money, to live in New York City, to live, like, a happy, healthy life. And I always said, okay, if I'm not getting my income from, you know, collaborations with brands, it'll be from, like, TV stuff. It'll be from hosting panels. It'll be from my accessories line, like, all these other avenues. Or I'll be from hosting an event. But this pandemic has somehow completely wiped out, like, all the ends of my business. Mm-hmm. And that's a humbling thing for me to learn, too, is really nothing is guaranteed, even if you do diversify all the things you want to be doing. So I think right now it's just about learning and not putting that pressure on myself of, like, what's next. But I'm hoping my old things still do come back. And, you know, I've been really, like, pushing different content on my site and doing IG Lives and like, so maybe a podcast. I'm now feeling like that is, this is a good time for that.
Right.
And not because I'm too busy. So, yeah, like, just other things and just also, like, being open and connecting with people. Like, you don't know where, I'm kind of, like, waiting to see what happens or who's going to pop up in my inbox with a great idea or be like, hey, Laura, I want to work on your book with you. Or, hey, Laura, do you want to do this? You know, my same good example is that Earth Day initiative with donating my closet. Mm-hmm. I had done a really provocative article about for a beauty packaging magazine about how much waste there was in the beauty industry. I then put it on my Instagram. It had over 150 shares. All these PR people, everybody was talking about it and, like, how to reduce waste when they're doing mailers. And Loop and Tie, the gifting platform, saw that and was like, hey, could we help you? Would you want to do, like, a gifting program to your audience? Like, what would that look like? And we met, and, like, they just popped up in my inbox. So I have to say, like, I'm very much, like, put things out, like, any positivity things, or I don't know. I mean, I'm up for hire, whatever you want. Universe, we'll see what, open up to what you want, you know? But I think that part of the, like, trust in a brand and doing things is that, like, hopefully just things will pop up when everybody's ready.
I love that. Yeah, no, it's true. I have to, like, remind myself to do the same thing. Okay, last question before I let you go. It's kind of like two in one. So what is, like, the one moment where you feel most at peace or when do you feel most beautiful?
I think I feel most at peace when I've, like, accomplished something, you know? I think, like, when I'm proud, it's, like, it's twofold. Either when I'm just, like, with my dog, because he's just taught me so much about, like, love and, like, relationships, and I rescued him older, and he was in bad shape, and now he's, like, the most beautiful thing on the planet. So I think for me, seeing, like, what love, he's taught me a lot about, like, what love can do and, like, make you whole and, like, wonderful. So I feel most beautiful when I'm, like, in a self-love moment of just, like, I accomplished something, and, like, my fiance is proud of me, and I'm proud of me. That makes me feel really beautiful. Or anytime I'm, like, going on TV because I'm like, my hair's done, my makeup's done, you know. But even with quarantine, I'm working on just being used to the fact that, like, I'm not wearing makeup right now, or, like, barely, and I'm letting my skin glow. And, like, I think it is important to, like, take care of yourself and just, like, hey, if this is bothering me about my body, let me, like, raise up my vibrations and work out and, like, feel good. Like, I want to feel good, but, like, maybe go outside for 20 minutes in the backyard and feel the sunlight and you know, just, I want to feel good at all times. I think that we all should explore ourselves and what makes us feel that way.
No, it's beautiful. I love it. It was such a beautiful way to end the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on and being an amazing guest. And I hope the listeners, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And I will leave all of Laura's information in the description. Feel free to connect with her and stay tuned for the next episode. So thank you so much
again.
All right. Bye.
Bye.